Let's start the second last lecture of this course, Risk-Based Remediation of Contaminated Environment. This is Tuesday, 2nd of February, and I just noticed that at the same time there is another course going on, Assessment and Monitoring of the Surface Waters, which is as important and parallel course to our course, which is dealing the assessment and monitoring and risk assessments of the contaminants in soil and groundwater. So in fact, these two courses are supporting very much each others, and what is missing is the monitoring of the air quality, but we haven't had these air quality courses for a couple of years. We used to have four courses in the air pollution control and monitoring and measurements, but not anymore. But we are in the very end, and those students would need most advices and individual feedback, unfortunately, are not present yet here. So I think that the group work with Aki, Joni, and Michelle with chlorinated phenol in Finland, you have no problem to find a case or existing or potential remediation method. Am I right?
Yeah, no problem.
Are you concentrating groundwater pollution or soil vapor pollution? Are you going to take this Kärkölä case, or what is your case?
Yeah, we chose the Pursiala case.
And okay, yeah.
Aki
yeah.
just wrote to chat that we are mostly groundwater.
Yeah, okay, good. Anyway, please notice that I don't see the chat, but I have no problems with you, but then I can see that Satu is here. Satu Kupari. Satu, what was your topic?
So we are doing, we are writing about lead with Evelina.
Okay.
Yeah, we were. I actually sent you an email yesterday.
Yes. So. Yes.
Yeah,
and yes, I have opened your PowerPoint presentation, and I saw you the case in Kontiolahti, and then I saw also your potential remediation method. But if you don't mind, I would like to take your case as a model, and I try now open the. Open the document. I should have it somewhere. So cleaning, and it should be somewhere. It's open. Share screen. It should be somewhere, I think. Share screen. Do you now see this decision from North Karelia ELY Center?
No, we can see the folder.
Okay, now.
Now, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So I think that this is a very, very typical case that You found this document, and then you went through this document and transferred all this material what is in this document, and you were able to location sampling, background information screening, and so on and so on, this document is based on this PIMA notification form. So you just take this information from this document and transfer it to another document, just in order to teach you the bureaucracy in Finland and get you familiar with this process. Of course, this is not very useful for Adul, who is from Niger, and Rock, who is, I think he's from Spain, Barcelona, so they have their own paperwork. But then when I went a little bit further and deeper into the case, try now to go share screen, and it is this one share. Can you now see this my PowerPoint?
Yes.
So usually, when you have this kind of notification of a remediation case, it's quite enough that you make this notification, and then you can get this acceptance from the ELY center, and then you can start to do the remediation and digging, it relates to the starting to construct something else, like dormitories or houses on the same spot. But this case was little bit different, because this was one of the biggest shooting range this kind of station where this competition of ampumahiihto, skiing and shooting is going on, and definitely they are not going to stop the activity, and this kind of definition that all those projects are listed in the appendix of activities that needs an environmental permit. They mentioned that you need an environmental permit if you are trying to build or construct a shooting range, which is not a small one, and that this is not definitely a small one, and then the local authorities and the municipality of this Kontiolahti, they made the decision that they will do the new fancy area, and in order to start to build and reconstruct and improve this recreational area, the sport area, they need a permit, and there is another document in the internet that relates to the permitting process of the new one. And let's have a look. This gives something concrete and kind of information what there has been going on. So there is this area with a very, very heavy load of bullets, and in old times there were no protective barriers, and I think it must be this area here with has excavated and then the new better solution to this area is going to construct. More or less, I think it's taking place at the moment. So in the shooting area or competition or in army, I have seen by myself this kind of heap of this ballast of the in army area, of course it's quite easy to collect this valuable metal and use it for recycling, but then there also this leaching of these metals from this material, and the new shooting range area is marked in the map on the right hand side, and that is going to follow the best available practice for minimizing the noise, minimizing the emissions in the air, possibilities to leaching of the metals from these either these bullets or from the contaminated soil. But that is another story. This relates to the environmental permitting and then the best available technology and this reference paper that relates to the shooting range and how it should be organized. And both of these documents can be found somewhere from my material in this course. But let's have a look what was done in past. So for all, not only for Satu and Evelina, this is more or less the information what you need to transfer from this ELY Center decision to the notification forum. So to copy paste property, its location and purpose of this activity, owner of this problem case, an obligation to notify activities and powers of the authority. This really relates to the chain of custody and liability of who is doing what and whose responsibilities, how to divide the responsibility. Then initially there has been information regarding the pollution in this notification forum, which has been transformed to the ELY Center decision, but now you can copy paste the most important information relating to this the statement of the events and the time that caused the pollution, and in Kontiolahti shooting range, I think it has been there from the beginning of 90s at least, and all this just like 30 years now, there hasn't been any environmental control measures. And a statement of the pollutants, properties, concentration and quantities. Both information were in this decision, but please, this is very important information when you start to plan your remediation method. Are they acceptable, and which are the problematic concentrations, and what is the amount of the contaminated soil, what is the volume, and what is the area, then you have to decide and know that, are you going to solve this problem in situ, to do the in situ remediation, or are you doing it on site, which means that near Kontiolahti, and then come take the material back to, or where are you doing that? It is then called ex situ. And there were a couple of harmful compounds, and the lead was the most problematic one. And the concentration, the decision related to the acceptable soil concentration in the shooting range is based on the lower guideline value in this case, because it happens that this shooting range is located on a very important groundwater area. And that's why the lower guideline values are required. In fact, if this would be something like non-permeable clay or till area with no groundwater, this higher guideline level might have been acceptable, but I think the contamination was something like 250 milligrams of arsen. It is a little bit higher than this lower value, but anyway, that is the reason why this high volume of the soil was excavated. And what you need to explain in your remediation notification is this remediation plan. That is the most important part. And in the real remediation plan in Kontiolahti was that they decided to excavate this topsoil away, since this most of this contamination was on the surface, and this peeling of the topsoil 20 centimeters from the top was considered to be enough. But even though the amount of the soil is quite high, the volume is 180 cubic meters, which is equivalent of 360 tons of contaminated soil, which means 8 to 10 truckloads full of lead contaminated soil. And since this was the, like excavation and disposal of this land, lead containing soil, the alternative of disposal are they gave three options which are located closest to Kontiolahti. So they told that this material, these truckloads could be treated and isolated in the in Joensuu by the enterprise called Puhas Oy. Obviously, it's some kind of industrial landfill meant also for hazardous waste, or for Fortum waste solution, which is located in Kuopio, or it can be transported to Varkaus, where there is this kind of station to take this contaminated soil by Lassila Tikanoja Oy. And this Fortum and Tikanoja are major players in the area of hazardous waste treatment in Finland. Okay. And also in this notification form, it is supposed that that you include a chapter which is related to the quality control and checking of the situation afterwards, that actually these goals have been obtained, and also if something happens during the remediation case, what might be the risky moments and risky, for example, population or something like this. If something happens, how you are prepared to this kind of exceptional situation. And then there's a requirement for the collection of information, accounting and reporting of results. And then there should be a schedule. And also a plan to make an environmental impact plan and prevention of environmental damage. But these are something what are required, but they are more or less like copy paste from all the different something the similar reports. So this remediation plan here is the important, and instead of this excavation of this lead containing soil to these three potential places, it's your task now to find an alternative method. And I think that you have initially proposed something like soil washing with a chelating agent. Was it so? At least I found one slide with indicated that you have been considering this option. And okay, there are lot of possibilities to find method, and sometimes when the soil is contaminated by low concentration of metals, you could consider this phytoremediation. And there was one case by I think it was Satu and Evelina who were interested in copper. And I think that please consider very seriously the phytoremediation for the soil contaminated by copper, for example. And also with this shooting range in Kontiolahti, no in situ remediation can be considered because I think it's even this winter there are all kind of competition going on and they need this area for skiing and shooting all the time. Okay. Stop share and screen share. Okay. Okay. I don't have this. What do you think? What do you think? About this this case, was it Evelina who was involved, or?
Yeah, Evelina and me, Satu.
Your case were this copper.
No, we had lead.
You had this. Okay, you had.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think about this? Yes, you have introduced this soil washing. We have somewhere else in Varkaus, Joensuu, or Kuopio. Are you still considering this washing with EDT, aka chelating agents?
Yeah, that was the idea, like to.
Yeah. That is quite feasible and lot of references and methods can be found, and also we are developing downstairs some bio-based chelating agent, a product coming from peat. Which contains humic material that contains a lot of functional groups, very similar functional groups that also absorb the metals in the soil. But if you have them in the solvent and you flush with this material, with this humic matter containing liquid, you can somehow to wash these metals out of the soil matrix, yes. And then you had also this collection of this copper out of the EDTA solution, and perhaps there was also this recycling of the very expensive EDTA solution.
But should we see some PowerPoint or something? Because okay, you are not sharing right now.
Okay. Was it here? No, it was. Sharing. I think this one. This is not that version. You had another version where you introduced the method.
Yeah, I think it was in the other folder what you show us the first time. Maybe okay. Downloads or...
Okay, let's go here. Let's go here, because this is your initial, where it is, initial group works. Perhaps it's here.
Yeah, that's the first one.
That's the first one.
Yeah.
But anyway, we can wait until Friday, you know. I don't want to spoil your presentation, but the idea what you introduced was very, very relevant, okay?
Okay.
So, let's have a look who is around. Not very many people are around, because I also prepared something for the zero fiber group and the remediation of the sediments. And perhaps by this way, I could share screen. Okay, now I'm stuck. Anyway, case of Hiedanranta. Am I sharing now the Hiedanranta PowerPoint presentation with you?
No, we are just seeing the folder.
Okay. Stop share. Share. This one. Thank you. Now you see Hiedanranta.
Yes, now you see.
Okay. Yeah. This is meant for the give some idea and idea this. And I studied the case Hiedanranta yesterday and this morning, and this is very typical case at the moment where the whole industrial areas very polluted and cross-polluted with all kind of possible harmful ingredients occur. And Hiedanranta is located close to Tampere, and it's a very attractive residential area and there are very extensive plan to take this area for the residential and recreational area. And there used to be old paper and pulp mill, Lielahti paper and pulp factory. It was shut down in 1981, but it was there operating for 100 years. That means that there was no environmental pollution methods, no wastewater treatment methods at all. And this whole area in Hiedanranta, it's what's now they called brownfield. And this definition of brownfield is very hot at the moment because there are this kind of pressures to make residential area that are sustainable and ecologically attractive. And you can visit the homepage of this program of Hiedanranta. It has got money from government and city and from European Union and all kind of research foundations. But now we are not talking about the contaminated soil, what occurs around the factory. But we are talking about this sediment, this zone of zero fiber, which has been there on the bottom of Näsijärvi for almost like 100 years. And this Lielahti factory was a reason why city of Tampere didn't want to take raw water from Näsijärvi. This Näsijärvi water quality was very poor in the 80s and 90s. But very soon when this factory was closed, there was the improvement of the water quality in Näsijärvi. And for example, a couple of years ago, they were able to open and reconstruct and renovate the second drinking water treatment plant close to this on the other side of the lake, Näsijärvi in Kauppi area. Very, very, very charming, very nice looking, very effective water treatment. It was possible to open it because this polluter was shutting down. And to make the problem even worse is that Tampere is planning to extend, for example, this ratikka. It's a track and into the area of Lielahti and Hiedanranta. And for that purpose, they need to fill and make the artificial island to the Vaitonoro. So they are filling this lake by the material what is coming from the excavation of the rock in order to make a new wastewater treatment plant in Sulkavuori. So the Sulkavuori should be more or less hollow at the moment, and for all those empty areas inside the rock, the material has been dumped into this area, and this is quite close also to the very, very sensitive area containing this zero fiber. And you can imagine that this problematic fiber layers are disturbed, and there is a risk of mobilization of this material if you practice active construction next to the polluted area. So there will be 27,000 inhabitants and 10,000 new working places in Hienanranta when it's ready. So there has been uncountable, yeah, now I'm talking about this zero fiber, and there has been very many demonstration and testing projects how to dispose and how what to do with zero fiber, and there are quite recent bachelor thesis from Tampere University of Applied Science by Henry, and it is this Metiner Oy who ordered this testing of the anaerobic digestion of the zero fiber. Metiner company is a very very innovative company close to Jyväskylä and owned by Kalmar family. They have been producing biogas and in fact they have sold this biogas also for cars. I think they were one of the first in Finland, but they also tested the possibility of this potential biogas production from this zero fiber. And anaerobic digestion of lignin containing compounds is very challenging. I tried that in the end of 80s. I did my licensing thesis about the anaerobic treatment of paper and pulp effluent, and it's a very 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 challenging process, and there are a lot of it's not very biodegradable at all. And then there are some very innovative. I have known this Mr. Hakalehto already like 40 years. We were studying in Kuopio in the 80s at the same time. I think he studied biotechnology, biochemistry at the same time, and he has promised to turn this zero fiber for some valuable products with his innovative techniques. Instead of the cost of 11 million euros, what is one estimation of the cost of the remediation? He promised that his company and his innovation is going to produce lactic acid, I think, which is worth of 200 million euros. Okay. And there are several people going on, and everybody is trying to dig gold from the bottom of the Näsijärvi. And there are a couple of other places in Finland where the similar material exists, but anyway, in the very front of this best residential area in Hienanranta, there is a bottom layer up to 10 meters of this kind of yucky, sticky, malodorous stuff, it has collected all kinds of harmful ingredients, so it's cross polluted, And then there is anaerobic degradation going on in the bottom layer of this sludge blanket, and methane bubbles and carbon dioxide bubbles are formed, and those bubbles they are able to lift small amount of this sludge onto the bottom of the lake, and there is constant flow of bubbles coming from the bottom, and they smell very, very bad. Besides of that, they contain also these sinkers, upotukki, which cause a danger for example, for boating and swimming and diving. So, big problem. And you can imagine that if you have stuff like that on the surface, it looks like sawdust, but on the bottom, on the contrary, God knows what is this stuff. I should have also another presentation. Let's have a look. No, sales. Share screen. Is it this one? Share. Yeah. I think it's this one. Yes. As you have noticed, I have been using this kind of material produced by real contractors and consulting companies, and that's the only way, because this environmental remediation is progressing so quickly and so fast that there are no books or or handbooks that are suitable for supporting learning material. So I have collected this material from the material produced by Environmental Administration, and also the latest information comes from the consulting company, and Ramboll is one of the biggest in the area in Europe, and they have been screening the possibility to do the remediation of this case, and there are a lot of players, but this is the starting point, and this is still there. This building, and I think it might still stay there.
Ulla, we can't see the presentation. Oh, yeah.
Thank you. No share. So okay, it was this is the place, and as you can see, it's very nicely located close to the city of Tampere. Very attractive area. Do you see that it now? Yes?
Yes, because...
Yes.
Okay, sorry. But the site look like that at the moment. In the middle of this area, there is this old industrial paper and pulp mill still there, and I have visited it was it the last summer and a year before that, we organized a dry toilet conference in the hall of this this factory. And at the moment, it is some kind of place for young people to have workshops and concerts. And we try to have a conference there. And you can imagine that our international guests and scientists from all over the world were not very, very satisfied with this conference hall, what it was inside of this building. There are a lot of innovative activities going on. For example, a very big dry toilet facility inside for these visitors. And when there was a 100 of visitors and they all wanted to use these dry toilets, it really demonstrated that this dry toilet technology is not mature yet. The smell was quite obvious. But anyway, you have to start from somewhere and already now in this Hietaranta area, there are very, very nice houses and very expensive houses, but here you can see what they have been planning, that even this factory area has been constructed and renovated, and also this area, what is now on as part of the lake, is filled by this rock coming from the excavation of the wastewater treatment plants under construction, and there's harbor, and there's also the track for the tram Raitiovaunu there. At the moment, or a couple of years ago, it looks like that, and still, not during the winter time, but the dredging of the sediment look like that, and the material what is produced is looks like that, and what to do? What to do? And this one group has promised to solve this problem, and the group, I hope that some of these they listen this presentation later on, because they have indicated that the problem in this zero fiber is a chromium, but chromium is one of the minor problems in this zero fiber. There are uncountable number of much more serious impurities in this material, and the material itself is a problem. And this group that chose this Mission Impossible, this is very heterogeneous. It's very wet. It has 10% ash. Most of this material is organic matter, and in theory, this might be okay for biodegradation. This might be okay for burning. This might be okay for stabilization. But it costs. All these treatments, alternative costs a lot. So on the surface, it looks better. Looks something I would like to make a suggestion that why you don't just try it and burn it. But then it's a very heterogeneous. Problematic metals arsen, cobalt, copper, and mercury, and I think also it contains chromium, but it's not the biggest problem. So, it is not suitable for example, in agriculture to put it into the field, because it contains these heavy metals and other nasty compounds. It might be used for landscaping, but it's a problem because it's very organic and very unstable. So you should do some stabilization, perhaps. You should do some encapsulation, isolate these layers somewhere. And malodorous compounds. It is producing biogas. And the biogas production, in fact, is as high as the traditional biowaste or activated sludge plant analyzed by Luostarinen and et al. in Jyväskylä. We did this kind of anaerobic degradation methane formation potential tests 2 years ago when we had this laboratory course last time. But not anymore, unfortunately, obviously. There are no need for that kind of environmental experiments, but that kind of experiment was one of the group lab works last time. So there are, this is in Finnish, but this is the technical data for the remediation, and here are the steps of remediation, and on the green box on the right-hand side, you have some challenges, but also some possibilities to handle this huge amount of the very problematic material. Drying, anaerobic digestion, composting in aerobic condition, using it for landscaping and so on. And here this slide is meant for the group to get some ideas how to treat and how to choose the remediation and the limiting factor of the remediation is not this chromium. So, but this group, for example, please visit the homepage and articles produced by Dr. Hakalehto. He is happy to give some information. Of course, he has made, of course, a patent to protect his innovation, but there are some other also patented solution already available for this stuff. And also one possibility that if it's burned, some kind of very, very problematic ash is produced. So in order to dispose this ash, it should be stabilized in order to prevent the leaching of these very same problematic metals from this ash. But perhaps it's suitable for cement production. And I think that there was something like almost like competition of possible technologies, which should be used there. And we have this group who has promised to solve this problem. The problem here is that I would so much like to help and comment your ideas and proposals, but perhaps I will open this Zoom presentation tomorrow from 10 to let's say 2, and all who want to contact can either send me emails and we can have a discussion in the email, or then we can have this kind of discussion here in Zoom via Zoom presentation, like we did. We shared this information regarding this Kontiolahti shooting area. But all those who are here now, would you like to ask something or stay here to have a discussion?